This is GamesAtWork.biz with Phaedra Boinodiris, Sandy Kearney, Michael Martin, and Michael Rowe, your weekly podcast about gaming technology and play. The thoughts and opinions on this podcast are those of the hosts and guests alone and not the opinions of any organization which we have been, are, or may be affiliated with. This is episode 101, O Canada.
Hello and welcome again to another edition of GamesAtWork.biz. This is Michael Martin. I'm delighted to be with you on a gorgeous North Carolina fall afternoon, coming to you from my kitchen table and joined from a different kitchen table or office table by my co-host, Michael Rowe.
Hello, hello, hello. I am also glad to be here. It was interesting this morning after I saw you grabbing coffee. I got a tweet from somebody saying it was snow flurries in northern Raleigh.
You know, I thought I saw a little bit of precipitation coming on down, but I thought I was just seeing things.
Yeah, I saw a little spit and a dash there too.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Well, we have a great show for you that started over coffee this
Absolutely.
Morning.
Absolutely. As all great shows do.
As any great show does, you're right. It starts over a nice cup of coffee. And the thing that kind of grabbed us started last week when Michael pointed out to me that South Park had a phenomenal show.
It was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. And I even, you know, I had my DVR set for it. So I now have that permanently stored in my DVR zone.
Yay. Well, it came on as a repeat episode on Wednesday prior to the next, you know, new South Park. So I happened to be situated on my couch and hanging out, and I started watching, and it was like, oh, this is the one. And I watched the whole thing through, and it's like, oh my goodness. This is one of those, if you like GamesAtWork.biz, you really need to go out, watch this thing, because it's hitting on all the points that we're talking about. All the points around making games fun.
But not too
not
fun.
Too fun.
Exactly. Fun that was enough. My whole point last week. I didn't want to dig in deep since I knew that you guys hadn't had a chance to watch it. So this is the let's talk about issue.
Yeah. So the point I made to Michael over coffee this morning before dashing out to work was, you know, after watching that show, I went over to my iPad and I deleted every one of my freemium games, including the ones that I've been playing for a really long time. I deleted the I can't even remember them anymore. I deleted the Donuts game, the Simpsons game. I deleted the Clams game, you know, from Family Guy. They're gone and they're off my machine. And it's
what about all the 8-bit building games?
I didn't delete those. I'm not playing them anymore, you know, and I never bought anything with them. I was happy to play them and just let them, you know, the clock run. But, you know, these other ones, I was playing them and I was like, you know, they're freemium games and they're trying to get me and lure me to spend money that I don't want to spend.
Yeah, it's interesting. So after you talked about that this morning, I also deleted them off. And I thought about it and I said, well, if I'm really going to get rid of freemium games, what other games am I enjoying that I would gladly pay for the game that are freemium games? And I even deleted my Real Racing 3 game.
Oh, my goodness. And you've been playing that for a long time.
I've been playing that one about a year now. And it's an awesome game. And the freemium stuff isn't overt or as painful as Simpsons or Family Guys or Clash of Clans or all those guys try to make it, where it's just fun enough. But, you know, I figured I'm going to go out and support games that are fun and that you just pay once and keep playing. So I even took off Dots and some of those games too, because they have those timers built into them that just try to force you to say, oh, don't you want to play one more move? Oh, you can't unless you pay the freemium currency.
So very interesting. And you know, you did me one better in that regard. And there are other ones here that I probably need to take off too. But I found myself last night late, you know, after doing this.
Having withdrawal symptoms?
This is when I delete them. Well, it wasn't so much withdrawal symptoms. I was starting to shake, you know.
Like, you're sitting there. It's like, I know, I just have one more move and I'll get the super whiz-bang building.
Yeah, you know, I'm spending my Canada and I'm getting the hospital placed, right?
Yes.
And I was like, well, gosh, if I were to play a game, what would that game be?
Yes.
So I started casting about for games. So
which is different than crashing about or thrashing about.
Yeah, but so we'll talk about that too. But you know, this is rather interesting about, okay, you know, what games would I actually pay for and enjoy continued play on?
You paid for the Lord of the Rings Lego game.
Yeah, I did, and I've played that pretty much to its conclusion. I also have the Lego game for Star Wars, the full set, which I got on like a special deal, I think, too. And
yeah, I've got that one on my Wii and haven't played it all the way through. And the Lego Lord of the Rings one, I'm just not very good at it.
There are aspects of that were a little tricky, but I managed to get through all of it. That was a fun game. I enjoyed it, but replayability, I'm not all about going back for all the red bricks and the gold bricks. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever. You know, not my thing. So I'm kind of scrolling through my phone, you know, as we're talking here about, you know, what other games do I have on my phone that, you know, fit and that match this, right?
Yep.
So I've got a few of the Zen pinball games. Which I have not actually bought an extra game from them. I've only have the free ones. So I've got several of them. I've got the Marvel pinball version. I've got the Zen pinball version. I've got Star Wars pinball. So I've got like 3-4 different tables and different apps there that I've enjoyed playing. But you know, it's actually a little hard to do that, I find, on the iPhone 6 Plus, because the way to hold a pinball game, mm-hmm. you kind of need an iPad size device. It's not quite good enough to kind of play it with your thumbs, and it's too small.
Yeah, you're talking about the pinball games. I struggled on whether or not I should delete some of the Angry Bird games. Because the original Angry Birds, right, was a pay to buy the game, and then you played it. And then they kept adding levels and adding levels, and then they started making the freemium ones, like Star Wars and In Space, which was their NASA tie-in, and then a couple of other ones. And I think I had 5 different Angry Bird games on my machine, and I deleted it back to just the original one and Space, I think, because of in-app purchases. Just to see how far I could go without, needing the game fix.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any Angry Birds on my device here at all, so that's I'm okay with that. I've got the Tiny Tower and stuff like that I built a long time and haven't played in a long time, so I guess I probably don't really care. There's Drawsome there, although I haven't played that in ages.
Yeah, those have been deleted for a while.
I'm just deleting here. I mean, this is oddly freeing. Removed from a game center? Yeah.
Well, that was part of my challenge because I had... I've actually run into situations while I was testing iOS 8 over the summer where I was running out of space on my 64 gig iPad.
Wow.
And so I deleted all those, you know, the games that I hadn't really been playing, but the ones that I would dip in periodically, I would keep. Right. And now it's like, okay, I've been trying to, over the course of today, after our discussion this morning, trying to figure out what makes a freemium game to the point where it's a bad freemium game versus just a game with in-app purchases.
Well, that's an interesting point. Yeah, because there's so many of these games do have in-app purchases. Like, you know, 8-Bit Ninja has in-app purchases. Nimble Quest has, you know, in-app purchases.
Yeah, I kept Nimble Quest.
I've got Civilization on here. I don't know that has in-app purchases.
It did. They did a rev of it to add in-app purchases about middle of last year.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Disco Zoo. Let me see if Disco Zoo's got in-app purchases. Do you ever play Disco Zoo?
Nope. I think that was one of the 8-bit games that you were playing that I got tired of 8-bit, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I know. You don't like the 8-bit stuff.
it's
and actually,
okay.
I got really upset at this game because it wound up resetting everything. You know, I had like the entire thing. Yeah, I had full unicorn set up, everything. And
you had
like,
the disco and the zoo.
I had everything I needed, and unfortunately, it just went goodbye.
You got to collect them all.
So yeah. So I mean, well, you do, and that I like the collection game, and yeah. It has a built-in limitation. This game too, where you can play it for a while, and then it's got a cooldown feature because you need to assemble more coins to collect, right? And the coins come over time. So is that an in-app purchase versus a freemium game? Very interesting point. I mean, because if we take this to its logical extreme, really, any game with in-app purchases would then qualify and say, yeah, probably needs to get gone.
Yeah, and I guess I think the deciding factor will end up being, and I might go back to Real Racing sometime, but I'm going to try to hold off for a long time.
Did you delete your cars out of the garage too and all data?
No, I just deleted it off the machine.
Okay.
It does a cloud save, right? Just like Simpsons does a cloud save and all these other ones do cloud saves. So when you log back in, you'll be where you were. Right. So I just did a device delete on both my iPad and my iPhone just to clear them off. And usually what I find, it's funny, I find two games that I play when I'm on a plane and I'm tired of reading and I'm tired of doing work. And they are the Real Racing because it'll work when it's disconnected. And the other one is, Chuzzle. So this was the first kind of goofy game I got. If you remember, probably 10 or more years ago, there were all these flash-based games on the web. And this one was kind of the precursor to Bedazzled or Bejeweled or
Candy Crush,
any of those. And basically you have these little, they look like the little, what are they called, koosh balls? Right? And they're of different colors, and you can slide up and down or right or left, and you want to get three together, and they'll delete off the screen, right? So, there's different puzzles attached to it, and there's a Zen mode, et cetera. And I usually just play the Zen mode, which is a never-ending game. And there are no in-app purchases. They haven't revved the game in, like, 3 years. I think I paid 99 cents for it, and it's just kind of a mindless Zen-out game of deleting things on the screen. So those are the two that I play on the plane. Because everything else wants to connect. And the other thing, if you look at a lot of the freemium games, not only do they do the techniques as talked about in the South Park episode, but they also all will ask for location data about you. Have you gone into your settings and turned off locations for them?
You know, I've looked at a number of them, and I've turned off some location settings, especially the ones that want them all the time.
Yep.
You know, for things that don't need to have them
it's
all
like,
the time.
Why does The Simpsons need to know where I'm at all times?
Yeah, exactly. They don't need to know.
They don't need to know.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think this is an interesting time now hitting this realization. Because even The Simpsons, you know, I you and I talked about this quite a bit. I enjoyed it because it was providing value in terms of the humor, and that was delivered by the same writers that write for the series.
Yep.
And it was doing it in small bits, right?
Yeah, and they just did a whole great little quest line on Matt Groening, however you pronounce his
graining,
name.
Graining. You have to go now take a minute to go have Homer practice how to say the name.
Exactly, right? Which was a funny little bit for about 3 or 4 days because you had these 24-hour quests.
Yep.
But yeah.
So you do get the fun out of that, but there is a big pressure that says, you know, buy stuff in order to get the things that you want because, you know, okay, this guy's now needs to take 24 hours to do, you know, the first step of three.
Yep.
And don't you really want to do the next ones? And I resisted. I never made an in-app purchase. And part of that is is because the psychological factor is there that once you make that first, you know, 49 cent or it's just a dollar or whatever, now that just opens the floodgates and you're like, you know, it's just another dollar. What the
right, heck? Exactly. It's insidious. Insidious.
Yeah.
Wasn't he in one of the Star Wars movies?
No, that was Darth Sidious.
Darth Sidious.
Insidious is a different guy.
So I'm
struggling with it. But now let's flip this a little bit into the games at work.
Yes.
Right? So we started this over coffee this morning too that said, hey, if we're going cold turkey, you know, on these kind of freemium games – how again might we take that same concept that makes them so, you know, playable and take so much focus and put them into the work context? And we've talked a little bit about this before, but I think it's worth revisiting again now, given the frame of mind that we're both in.
Yeah, it is. And for those who have followed this podcast from the beginning, they'll remember that one of the driving factors was our Project Wookiee, right? Dancing with Wookiees, and the whole idea of leveraging the, I'll call it the dopamine drip of games for business, right? So it was in that same space that freemium games are using to keep you engaged. And so we were thinking through, you know, what's the reward factor that gives you the dopamine drip that makes it valuable for you to play a game in a business context? What's that replayability that makes you want to keep coming back and redoing that exercise or redoing that experience? And, you know, one of the things we've talked about is in ideation games, I would say the dopamine drip there is the ideas that you generate, right? And you can play the same game over and over again and come out with vastly different outcomes and lots of value playing an ideation game.
Sure. And there's lots of value to that. I mean, these sports games are the great example, right? Because a sports game between two teams, you know, always there's something that could happen and things might work a little bit different. And that's why sports games have so much replayability too. But if we're thinking about a work process, and there's an awful lot of them that when you know, you think about it, it's like, well, you know, I got to do the TPS reports, and this TPS report is going to take me an hour to go do. You know, what if there were a way to spend a donut or a clam or a can of dough on that to make it go away? You know, what if there was some value exchange mechanism that allowed users, employees, to be able to say, look, I'm willing to take something that's of value to me and expend it here in order to make something happen quicker. And following on that thought, wouldn't that, if it were done in aggregate, you know, so across teams and across countries and
across organizations,
global organizations, right, that it might well pave the path that says, hey, this thing is worth automating because so many people are willing to spend their valuable, limited, you know, fake currency resource to try to speed this sucker up.
Yeah, you know, that's what interesting way of looking at it. And I'm wondering, let's make up a real example, the TPS report. Let's say that you had a valuable virtual currency called PDO. Okay. And back in my early days of my career, I was working at a company and we had PDOs. And PDOs were time that you accrued for working that you could cash in for paid days off. It was your vacation time. It was also used for sick time. And you could roll over as much as you wanted each year. So people would bank this over time, and you would end up
With months.
With months, yes. Literally months. And I think you were allowed to keep, at the edge of a year, 30 days of paid vacation or PDO. And roll over. And so after a certain time, what people would do would just cash in amounts for checks. You know, you wanted to buy a new car, you took a couple of, you know, took a month and said, cash it in, boom, you now have a really nice down payment for a car. And it's not money that comes out of your regular budget. So if you had this type of virtual currency, you bank it at one level and you pay it out at another, would you take these virtual PDOs that could, let's say they could only be used for education? So career-related education. Let's make it not a paycheck type level. And each year you got 40, let's call them PEOs or POEs, paid optional education, or POEs.
As in Edgar Allan.
As in Edgar Allan. and would you trade in a POE in order to not have to do this week's TPS report?
So I really love the concept, actually, of the whole paid time off. And if you can break it down into hourly increments, I mean, I remember, you know, some organizations kind of do it that way. Like you earn, you know, X number of hours for every week that you work, right? If you were able then to say, this is a value to everybody, right? A paid educational hour may not be of value to people who don't value education, but paid time off, I think, is of value to everybody because they would be able to say, hey, I'm getting something for this. So if a person would say, I'm willing to spend, you know, X number of hours to improve this process or to speed it up, that's great. And the corollary, the and to that would be that there'd have to be a tangible speed up to it. Right. So just like these games that are just fun enough, and you know, that's kind of the description of work too, isn't it? It's just fun enough to keep you engaged.
It's so fun that you're willing to get paid for it.
Yeah, it's so fun you're willing to get paid for it. That's why it's called work. So if it's just fun enough, and if you're able to incrementally make it a bit better, and it would actually be a bit better, you might be inclined to spend that valuable commodity on it, right?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. So you know me, I'm gonna have to take it to ludicrous speed for a second.
Okay, I'm buckling in. I'm putting on my helmet.
Oh no, we've been jammed.
Let's go.
So let's say you have this value, and let's use paid days off. Let's use something really valuable. And as an employee, you choose to burn some of those in order to speed up a process that you don't enjoy at work. At some point, I can see businesses taking that to ludicrous levels of actually using that for the investments in their process improvement efforts, and almost, I don't want to say double dipping on an accounting perspective, but actually making things that they want to improve slightly worse to the point where they get enough employees to basically fund it. am I taking it to ludicrous land, or is it a logical extension?
I'm taking my glasses off, my goggles and stuff, you know. Okay. Yeah, it's ludicrous land, but you know, there could be some organizations that might go that way. I mean, the term gaming the system, you know, starts with games, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That's why I think it has to be something that's tangible but not financial. Because the financial incentive in here would actually end up being very easily gamed.
Yeah, probably so. But it has to be converted. It has to be convertible into something of value. I mean, this is one of the reasons why freemium games work, right? You're spending clams or donuts or can of dough on stuff, and your brain is wired in such a way that it, when you've bought those things with money, then those things lose their value, right? You don't think about them in terms of
as money anymore,
right? Your brain says, "Oh, it's just a virtual thing, and I can go spend it."
Even if it's just Canada,
it's just Canada.
Yep.
Oh, Canada!
Plop. We should put in the show notes the clip of the one guy skating and singing the national anthem of Canada and then hitting the carpet. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, I have actually.
And it's been all over the web, so we should use that.
Yeah, That's unfortunate, you know. He seemed like a good singer and a guy who cared and, you know, would care for their hockey in Canada.
Actually, if we play it with the Simpsons games, it could be, oh, Canada.
Yeah, well, it could be. And maybe that's going to show up in the game, too, at some point.
Yep, but I will never know. You know
Well, right. I am now strangely free. I'm free.
And if you remember, actually earlier this year, I wrote the blog post on the games that I was going to try to cut out, and I cut some of them out, and how many hours a week were spent. I hate to think how many hours a week were spent on some of these freemiums.
Yeah, just don't even think about it. You know, now you can read, you can see your family, you can look outside and enjoy the beautiful fall foliage.
Voom. Well, I know we're just about out of time.
Yeah, I was just going to say that time is fleeting. So we need to know
madness.
What games are you turning off?
That's right. Will our madness take control?
Yes. Yes. Can you say this is what I'll turn off? Or, you know, flip side, you know, what would you want to apply freemium principles to in order to get more engagement and get more people to do whatever it is that they need to do? Or, you know, is the idea of creating something of value that can be spent by employees on speeding up something in their day-to-day work effort, you know, is that a valuable idea? We want to hear from you.
We do. And you can, give us that feedback on our blog at gamesatwork.biz or our Facebook page at facebook.com/gamesatworkbiz or our Tumblr at gamesatworkbiz.tumblr.com or our Google Plus page or our Twitter account, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera. Well, with that, I think we will all bid you a civil adieu.
Adieu.
Because that's, you know, all there is, and we don't have time to play games now. So
that's right. No more games.
No, there's got to be games. I'll find more games.
So I think in our show notes, we will have a new section of what games are you no longer playing.
Yes. And that list will grow. All right. Well, Michael, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I hope all of our listeners are having a great day or night or whenever they listen to us now. Well, it won't be now. It'll be in the future.
Absolutely. See ya.
See ya.
Bye.
You've been listening to GamesAtWork.biz, the podcast about gaming technology and play. We are part of the Blueberry Podcasting Network. And would like to thank the band Random Encounters for their song, Big Blue. You can follow us on Twitter at gamesatwork_biz or at our website at gamesatwork.biz.